Samuel was an amazing person who accomplished a lot of wonderful things. But toward the end of his time, he had grown old, and his sons were the priests behind him, really hadn't honored the Lord. And it was kind of the priesthood had kind of been devalued by that. And so what happened was is that people started coming to Samuel and saying, "We want a king. Everybody else has got a king. Why don't we have a king? We want a king." And they looked around each other and said, "Yeah, we really do want a king. Did you hear me? We want a king." Okay. They came to Samuel and chanted that out. "We want a king, we want a king." And Samuel looked at him and goes, "No, you don't. You don't. Here's what a king's going to do for you. He's going to tax you, take your money. He's going to take your young men away, conscript them to fight in the military. And he'll probably take your daughters and things to work around the palace and stuff like that. You really don't want a king?" "Yes, we do. We want a king." Samuel went before the Lord and said, "Oh, Lord, they rejected me as their leader." And the Lord said, "No, you have that wrong, Samuel. They have rejected me as their leader. So we're going to give them a king." And I'm happy to tell you today that the king is here today. In fact, the first three kings are all here with us today. This is so exciting. I tell you, not everywhere are you going to be royalty. Three kings in the house. All right, one of them is sitting right there. And I think one of them,
let's see here.
And one of them sitting over there.
Yeah.
Oh, I had you up here before, didn't you? You don't want to be embarrassed again? We learned by the condition of their heart. Okay? So the first king, King Saul. Nice try. You don't got it to be So Saul, he didn't really want the job. In fact, when it was time to anoint him as king, Samuel poured oil. Oh, Saul beat me to it. Now poured oil on his head and ran all down. He was hiding in the luggage. He was so nervous about being king. But you know what? He kind of got used to being king. He got a little bit full of himself. Puffed his chest up. Your reign wasn't all it could have been because you had no word for God. So we'll put a crown on him and we'll say Saul.
Saul.
Oh, come on, nice crown. We don't have to have easy clothes. Loose hand cards.
Sharing God's perspective on the history of the land.
The interesting thing is that the story of David and Bathsheba is in the historical chronicles of 2 Samuel, but from the priestly perspective, and God's perspective, it is not listed in 1 Chronicles. Because God is a God who forgives and forgets. We don't forget as well as God does. Sometimes we think about, oh, I remember when I did that. And if we have confessed that sin and given it over the Lord, 1 John 1:9 still works. We haven't worn it out yet. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from most of our unrighteousness. All of it. All our unrighteousness. And David's story is so special because he went low. Bad. Okay? But when he humbled himself before God, he did not out-sin God's grace. And we need to remember that. Not that any of us are going to kill people's spouses and murder them, but we have issues too, and we sin. But we can ask the Lord to forgive us of our sins. And David did, and we restored the fellowship of God. Good job, son. Okay. Now his son. His son was Jamaican. His name was Solomon.
Solomon.
He was David's son, and he became the third king in the United Kingdom period. So we had Saul. Yeah, 40 to 7,000 Yeah, I have one wife. She's special. I love her dearly, but she's enough. So, let's just put this in perspective. Let's relate it to our one day, Valentine's Day. How many hours did it take to sign all the letters? Dear wife, 367. Baby, you're 1 in 1,000. Roses, ridiculous. On it goes. So, Solomon stirred up with every opportunity. But the scripture says that as his reign progressed, his wives, there's a little lesson there, led him astray. Yes, you remember the story. You invented it. Okay, so, led him astray, and he started following other gods besides Jehovah God. And that led to the demise of his kingdom and actually his legacy. And after he passes, the kingdom splits in half because he left it in half of Russia. Shame. His heart kind of translucent, but it was only like half a heart. You're smarter than the average bear. Okay. So, the United Kingdom, 120 years, Saul, no heart, David, full heart, Saul. How many sand mules are there?
One.
So it's the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel, okay? Yeah. Okay? This is King Saul. He had no heart for God. This is a little hard with the cross off symbol. Okay, yeah, I'm sorry. I'd make it bigger, but I can't. Alright? Okay? 1 Samuel is about Saul. Okay? 2 Samuel is about King David. You see, he's got his heart there, his slingshot, and he has a whole heart for God there on his chest. So if you want to learn about King David, look at 2 Samuel. Okay? How many kings are in the picture? Okay? There's one king there. Okay? And that king is Solomon. And he has half a heart for God. He's got an entire collection in the background there of various hair colors and different things. And so notice in his hand he's got a big bag of money. Splitting. That's because after these kingdoms ends, his country basically splits over taxation or money, just like the United States Civil War. It was more about money than any social issue. And so that money, you know what that money is? They're pesos. Yeah, because I think they're Filipino pesos, I'm not sure. But anyway. Pesos helps us remember the books that Solomon wrote. Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. Pesos. Put that one in memory banks. Someday in Sunday school class, someone's going to say, what books did Solomon write? And you're going to go, ka-ching! Pesos! So, this is the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings is about Solomon. And then this is a chronicle. He was holding up one chronicle, little newsboy with an extremely large mouth. And the chronicle is an editorial on David. And as I mentioned earlier, the chronicles are priestly reviewed for the land at the time. And so, First Chronicles is a review of King David's life and his kingdom. So you read about him in 2 Samuel and also First Chronicles. So, that's real quick on page 27, the United Kingdom period. Ta-da! Is that easy? Okay. So, let's put them together. Please stand up. You're tired. What? We're not going to go all the way there yet. This is just a review of what we just learned with our Marvel's King collection. The royalty in our midst. So, let's say, except
through Samuel,
United Kingdom,
120 years,
Saul,
no heart,
David,
whole heart,
Solomon,
half heart.
Get together with three or four people and do that three times. Then you will free yourself. 400 years. Name will be Israel. The southern kingdom of Judah said our two tribes, Judah's the biggest one, we're just going to use that name. This is free. Judah becomes the New Testament name in that area, which becomes called Judea, which is the Greek name for the same thing. God should charge for that. If we talk through the Old New Testament, you'll learn more about it then. Okay, so north, south, Israel, Judah. The northern kingdom lasted for 400 years. Yeah, what a convenient number. And in that northern kingdom of Israel, the 400 years of history, they had 19 kings. The southern kingdom of Judah, it lasted about 120 years longer. They had 20 kings. Now the northern kingdom of Israel, with its 19 kings, had zero kings that honored the Lord. 400 years of no one honoring the Lord. Not good. I used to have trouble with spelling before God invented spell checkers. And it's helped me tremendously, and the rest of you can benefit from my deficit here. But I know that in fourth grade when I had a spelling test and I got 0 out of 19 on it, because I forgot one, okay, it was bad news at our house. The southern kingdom of Judah, with their 20 kings, did better. They had 8 good kings. They hit 40%.
Yeah!
So this is how I like to remember it. Divided kingdom, 400 years. Yeah, north, south, Israel, Judah, 19, 20, 0, 8. Oh, yeah. I'm not dancing. That's written for you. I heard people when I dance. Usually myself. So we're not going there. Anyway, that's how we're going to remember. So please stand up and join me. Okay, come on. Rhythmic review, which is good. Okay. Divided kingdom,
400 years. North, south, Israel, Judah, 19, 20, 0, 8.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Okay, very good.
Kingdom, 120 years.
So.
Solomon, half heart.
Divided kingdom,
400 years. North, south, Israel, Judah, 19, 20, 0, 8.
Ooh, yeah. Great job, that's that. Okay, so that's what this guy's in. All of a sudden, the kingdom's in trouble. It's been divided.
Now problems are going to come their way. The book of 2 Chronicles gives a priestly review of what took place in the country of Judah. They are not writing about Israel because Israel rejected the Lord. Jerusalem and the temple was in the country of Judah. In the north, it wasn't there. So that's kind of why that transpired in that way. So, now, this is what happened. After we say, oh yeah, when your hand up in the office, say, prophet speak. Prophet speak. Prophet speak. And here's the message of the prophets. Shape up or ship out. Prophet speak. Shape up or ship out. You know, there's a guy that's supposed to walk through the Bible way longer than me. He lives in England. His name is Cliff Keys. And Cliff, when he got to this part, said, oh, bother it all. What did you call this done now to the Queen's language? Cliff, what are you talking about? Well, what's all this shape up or ship out thing? Cliff, you do the right thing. You have consequences. Why didn't you say so? We thought we did. Shape up or shift out? No, it's not clear at all. Well, Cliff, what would you do? I got it. Pull up your dirty socks or get on your bicycle. Oh, that ties it all together. That's what he really said. He got bored in England. So when you go around the world, you may find in different countries and cultures, maybe they won't use exactly the same examples along the way. If you happen to go to Heathrow Airport in London on your way to, you know, Asia or Africa, if you take a scenic route, you practice in the airport. I have a little time. I guess I'll practice my lovely Bible Old Testament hand signs. Go to the airport, start doing it. People from all over the world around join you, of course. But when you get to this part, it may go a little different directions. But we're going to just say, shape up or ship out. And I'm pointing very strategically. Because there were three big countries over here between the river on the top, the Tigris, and the one on the bottom, the Euphrates. Are you Euphrates? Okay, just checking. All right. So between those two countries, rivers, three major nations formed. Clear up here by Herod, there was a country that starts with the letter A. Letter A, and it was A for Assyria. Assyria. Okay? In the middle, right down in here, hi guys, there was a country that formed that started with the letter B, Babylonia. Babylonia. So A, B,
Babylonia.
This is just like kindergarten. A, B, P. Okay. So back here. How's it going? Alright. Okay, back here, this is the country of Persia. Persia. So Assyria, Babylonia, Persia. And they follow each other in history in that order, which helps us out. So, thanks for listening. Okay. It's kind of a way to earn that. A name to help us remember the four people that were really significant during the return period of time. The first one was Zerubbabel.
Zerubbabel.
If I would have had the name Zerubbabel, I would still be in kindergarten. I would have never been able to sign my paper, take four pieces of paper. Here's what happens. Zerubbabel is over in Persia, and the people come back from Jerusalem, they go up and they go, Zerubbabel! We have trouble! So then the temple is Zerubbabel! We need you to come back with Zerubbabel! So Zerubbabel led a group of people back, and they rebuilt the temple. Into the temple. Yes, excuse me, I have not a problem. In Jerusalem. So that's the Z that you're going to talk about. Okay, thank you so much for that theory. Okay?
And the two E's, I'm Alpha, medical order. It's so nice the Bible went that way. Okay, the first E is who? Let's see if people can guess.
Esther.
See, you can all talk. Okay, Esther. Esther was the queen of Persia. She got a job in an interesting way. The king of Persia was so full of himself and his accomplishments that he had a 180-day long party. Okay, 180 minutes and I can't take any more. Okay? 180-day party. And he finally said one day, Vashti, my dear queen and wife, and would you come out and stretch your stuff for all of my drunk friends? I'm paraphrasing a little while. And she looked at him and she said, no. See? Good high standards there. And so he said, that's the way it's going to be. You're fired. So, you're fired. You don't get a queen anymore. So they had a Miss Persia contest, and a young Jewish girl named Esther won the job. And she's so thrilled. Look at her expression. She's so excited, okay? And Esther be praying. Are you okay? There she smiled. Just guessing if she's hiding behind the flag. Okay? She became the queen of Persia and saved her people from extinction. And I think it was one of the many times throughout the history of the Jewish people that Satan was trying to stamp out that group of people prior to the Messiah being come. But she was faithful, and even though she was unsure that she was going to live or die, she said, I will do it through God's due investment. And her uncle Mordecai, because he said, girl, how do you know that you weren't born for such a time as this? And when we face a difficult challenge, maybe it's because of our faith or because of our ethics. I remember turning in some guys that were selling dope at the job I was at, selling drugs. I turned them in and I thought, I could really get in serious trouble here. But I did the right ethical thing. I lived through it. But I said, what is the right thing to do? I will do the right thing no matter what the cost is. And Esther said that. I will do the right thing even if social is a problem, even safety is a problem. Good job, girl. Sorry, you got fired. Okay. The next E is Ezra. He's in the Bible. Okay. Ezra's got his own book here. But Ezra, he led a group of people back, and he led a revival. He told the people, we need to get it right with God. And it made him smile. Okay, yeah, all right. So, Ezra led a revival for the people, and finally, okay, you excited? It's your turn. Yeah. All right. Okay. A call comes to Nehemiah, who is the cupbearer of the king of Persia. And the call says, we need help because the walls of the city of Jerusalem are broken down. They are only knee-high. So knee-high Maya. There's guys wall building kit going there. So these four people are very instrumental in the returning of the people of Judah. One of them stayed in Persia, but he saved everybody else's life. Okay, all right. So this is how it looks. Persia, Judah returns. Zerubbabel, bring him all the way back around. Temple. Esther went to Persia. Queen. Ezra would bring all the way back around from Persia to Judah. People. Led a revival for the people. And then finally, Nehemiah. Start Persia, bring them all the way. Nehemiah.
ladies. You did great, all five of you. So, Persia, Judah, returns. Zerubbabel, temple, Esther, queen, Ezra, people, Nehemiah, walls. Then there is 400 years of silence between Malachi and Matthew. In the New Testament version of this seminar, we spent an hour explaining the 400 years between the Old and New Testament. Because we don't know a lot about the history, and it may be the perfect time, it says in Galatians 4:4, in the fullness of time, God sent Christ on the earth. 400 years of silence. Then along the bank of the Jordan River one day, a man was down there named John the Baptizer. He was baptizing people for the remission of sins. And coming down the walk toward the water is a distant relative of his, Jesus. And Jesus walks up to him and he says, I want to be baptized. And John says, no way. I don't even deserve to untie your shoes. Okay? You got that one figured out? All right? And so, he said, in comfort and keeping of the word, he went into the river. Jesus is baptized. As he comes out of the water, the voice of God speaks from heaven and says, and I tell you, that's my boy. I'm not trying to be sacrilegious. God said, this is my son, my very pleasant. And the Holy Spirit descended. And kings of God. It's one of those incredibly rare points in the scripture where the Trinity is manifested, all three beings in three in one, the same place. It's pretty awesome. So it's 400 years of silence. The silence is shattered by Christ. Christ. So you got cross there. Very cool. Okay, so that book is Esra. Esra talks about two things. It talks about Zerubbabel in the beginning, building the temple bowl. And the last part it talks about Ezra's trip himself, meeting with the people. So we say temple, people. Okay, this is the book of Esther. Okay. She's the queen of Persian rugs and Persian cats in Persia. And this is, of course, Nehemiah, who was building the walls in his new height. Yeah. Nehemiah. Alright. That is the end of our walk through the Old Testament. We've got all the way through. Now we're going to put it all together just a couple minutes because I know you're not going to join me on that place. But let's look at a couple things in your workbook. Page 37. The entire scope of the Old Testament, that's just the beginning part. The book of Kings to Nehemiah and how the prophets all fall below them. There. Okay? This is the geography where those books take place. So you can look at that map later on page 38. You kind of see where those books are. Second Kings was about what? Kings are sitting on something?
Exile.
Exile, very good. Second Chronicles, the editorial on
Judah.
Second Chronicles, Judah. Judah. Ezra is about two things. Temple and people. Nehemiah is about the
wall.
And then Esther is the queen of Persia. Queen of Persia. On page 48, the whole Old Testament is put together in a big chart for you. All together there. And then, this is an opportunity for you to take this a little further. In your workbook on page 50, it says www.30dayadventure.com. And there's a devotional in your workbook. The next 21 days are there. But if you join, you go to that 30-day adventure sign
They're also going to give you a video that helps you remember the hand signs, a written description of them, and other practical advice and things to help you. You like to do that. Alright? And so you get 21 days of devotionals, a review video, written description of hand signs. During a 30-day adventure. So, of course, Walk Through the Bible is on Facebook. They may be joining. I tried that one social media, but they may be doing. Here's the bottom line. We can't possibly learn the whole Old Testament just a few hours together. We've learned the framework, we've had a lot of fun doing it. The bottom line is, we need to read the Bible. That's where the truth is, that's where the learning is. I read the Bible, it's called the elliptical Bible. It's not really called that. In the morning when I go to the gym, I get on the elliptical machine. And my Kindle reads the Bible to me in my headset as I read it, as I play half an hour reading through the scriptures. And you know what? That works for my schedule, it works for me. And I'm reading and hearing the scriptures that I go through. Every day, God's Word is vital. Read the Bible. Pray. Be actively involved in church. I know when you're a teenager, you get really busy, don't you? Yeah. You still need to be involved in the group of church. It's a big deal. It's a really big deal. Okay? And read your Bible. God gave it to you because He loves you absolutely, completely. And He wants to give you His Word. It's a special gift. So, we need to put everything we learned together.
This is
77 things in a row. Here we go. Creation!
Cause! Blood! Nations! 4,000 years! Earth! Virgin Paul! Saul! Sarah! Abraham! Lot! Tara! Tyler!
Sea of
Galilee, Jordan River, Dead Sea, Mediterranean, Israel, Ishmael, Isaac, Esau, Jacob, Joseph, Egypt, Jews, Egypt, 400 years, bondage, Moses, let my people go!
No!
10 plagues, Passover, Red Sea, Mount Sinai,
Silence, Christ, give yourself to Him.